2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and if you would find verse number 17, I'd like to read to the end of the chapter tonight. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 down to verse 21. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for these tremendous verses. Lord, we pray tonight that you would work them in our hearts. Lord Jesus, glorify yourself through it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. Salvation forever changes us. Our destination is changed from hell to heaven. Matter of fact, we get a new set of desires. The old ones are not abolished, but there's a new set that comes. And basically, it's a desire toward God. Our spirit, when you and I get saved, has been enlivened. Up until that point, according to Ephesians, we are dead in our sins and trespasses. Our spirit is basically dead. We are body and soul. The body basically tells the soul what to do. And it's the Burger King philosophy. Have it your own way. But when we get saved, the Spirit becomes enlivened, and the Spirit is what bears witness with His Spirit. And thus now we have a connection with God. No longer is the Lord Jesus Christ just a historical figure to us, but we find that when we get saved, He becomes a reality. Notice verse 16, He says, "Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, we have not; we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we Him no more." How is it? It's by the Spirit. And it's a different relationship. And you and I have this tremendous privilege after salvation. Our practice and our appearance will begin to change over time as sanctification is allowed. Now, that's a big word, sanctification. And we throw it around once in a while, but it just simply means God is setting us apart. He's changing us. Now, here's something we know. We know that every individual changes at a different rate at different times in their life. Little children do not all mature exactly the same. No two people are made alike. And every one of us is quite different. And so how those things take place in our lives, we cannot lockstep that in and say, this person is maturing at a good rate because I'm seeing this, this, and this take place in his life. Matter of fact, most changes will be inwardly before they are outwardly. One of the problems with sanctification is that you and I must allow it to take place. Now, as a saved individual, we want to, but we also have the flesh, and we have the old desires that are there. And sometimes we're just plain ignorant of what God's trying to do in our life. And at other times, we're just plain stubborn. There's nobody stubborn in this room, I know. I know that when you begin to talk about your ancestor, you would say, oh, they are such compliant, wonderful people. No, we seem to like to brag about our ancestry being stubborn people. Do you know what that says about us? That's not necessarily a great thing, if we really stop and think about it. But you and I, we find that those things can thwart our progression. Matter of fact, we're not to measure our salvation by our sanctification. We can't do that. In other words, when we look at individuals, sometimes we say, well, that person, I'm not so really sure they got saved because they're doing this, this, and this, and this. Salvation is by the grace of God. Amen? Plus nothing, minus nothing. It's God's grace working in our hearts and our lives. Sanctification, by the way, is by God's grace as well, as we allow Him to work in our lives. Sometimes, because of ignorance, as I've mentioned, we're not allowing Him to work in our lives. A little child gets saved. He's 7, 8 years of age. He might be a bus kid. He goes home. Mom and dad move, or they never let him come back to church. And they're remaining ignorant for perhaps many years. The other night I preached something very similar to this, what I'm saying right now. And I mentioned Doc. And Doc came up to me afterwards and he said to me something I was just totally flabbergasted with. He said, even though I was in the world for those years, God protected me from certain things. The Spirit of God, though He wasn't even trying, God was protecting him from certain things that would have probably destroyed him. And yet God in His graciousness did that. He wasn't reading His Bible. He wasn't thinking about God. He wasn't going to church. But God was still what? Doing something in his life. And so we find that God is God and you and me, well, we're you and me, aren't we? And oftentimes we want to measure somebody's spirituality by things that we see. But we must remember that whatever happens to us in the world of sanctification, in other words, how God is maturing us, that is only by the grace of God as well. You are whatever you are by the grace of God. It is something we need to very consciously be aware of. Now, what's interesting is I look at this particular verse here in verse number 16, I find that it is tied to verse 18 very dramatically. Notice verse 18, he says, and. What's he doing? He is tying this together with verse number 17. And he says, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Reconciled. In other words, he made let's put it this way. He made us friends with God. He took away the enmity, that which was separating us. He brought us together. And that which was an argument between us is now gone. How? By Jesus Christ, because He paid the price of our redemption. And so we're tied to this thing of that. And notice what it says, and hath given to us what? The ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. I look at this and I think, my goodness, God is telling me I'm a new creature, and tied to that is a new ministry, and that is a ministry of reconciliation. Now that's interesting as I look at the book that I'm in. Because the book of 1 Corinthians, as God had Paul write to Corinth, they were not a people who were in the realm of reconciliation amongst themselves. Matter of fact, we find they were very divisive. The ministry that he speaks of here in this verse was absent from the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians because they were far too prideful and they were divisive. Divisiveness is of the devil. Our flesh is very prone to it. Our flesh is prone to it. Get discouraged, what do you want to do? Quit. Separate yourself from whatever or whoever the problem is. That is where we're at so often in our lives. And you and I, we have that problem. But God wants us to understand we have a ministry of reconciliation, not divisiveness. Now we find a wonderful ministry that God has given to you and I, and it's a ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world Himself, verse 19, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. As I read verse number 19, I come to the conclusion that reconciliation is only really possible when we are not going to impute sin to someone. If I'm going to be reconciled to you, listen, there's something that's dividing us. So the reconciliation is saying, hey, I'm not going to lay that upon your charge anymore. In other words, forgiveness takes place. And that's the ministry that God wants you and I to be involved in. We're in the position of Christ and we are to be seeking reconciliation. First of all, for the lost person to be reconciled to God. That's what he said in verse number 20. Now then are we ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. There must be this reconciliation with God. How's it come about? Of course, that's when you and I recognize that we're sinners and we cry out for the grace of God that He's offering to us. And we believe it, we receive it, whatever words you want to use there, but by faith we accept that wondrous grace of God. So we, first of all, we seek for reconciliation with sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe also, if I understand the New Testament correctly, not only are we to learn how to get along with God, we're to learn how to get along with each other. So we also have a ministry of reconciliation that includes saints to saints as well. Are we not supposed to get along? Amen? Amen. Now what happens? We know tonight that there are things that separate brethren. We know tonight that we get offended easily. I mean, there's certain things, and it ought not be, but we do. We know tonight there's certain things that bug us and bother us and all these kinds of things. And we have to learn this thing of forgiveness. And we have to help each other with this thing. It includes the matter of reconciliation of saint to saint. The truth of reconciliation, I believe, is realized when we look at the thing of substitution. Verse number 21, He hath made Him to be what? Sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Here's the substitution. First of all, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, who had no sin, what? He became sinner for us. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. I'm not saying Jesus was sinner. He became sin for us. He took that position on the cross of Calvary. And there He died. He who knew no sin. And what did He do? He became our substitute. But by the same token then, God takes His righteousness and places that upon us. Here's a verse that's telling us very dramatically that there's only one way we get saved. It's not by anything we do, but it's what God has done for us. He's taken our sin and died for it, took His righteousness and gave it to us. And we know that the operating principle is grace, and you and I receive that by faith. Pretty simple, but lost on so many. And yet, this reconciliation is realized in substitution. As we stop and think about some of these things, I look at, and I'm going to say to you tonight, there are no self-made men in Christianity. Many men like to boast that, hey, I'm self-made. I have pulled myself up by the bootstraps. I've accomplished this in my life. But a Christian cannot make that boast. We are whatever we are by the grace of God. Ephesians 2:9 is very specific. It deals with salvation. But I believe that it also deals with other because of the word that's used, not of works, lest any man should boast. We have nothing to boast of. Our position in righteousness is only possible because we are made that way in Christ. But may I also say that our performance in righteousness is only possible because we are made that way in Christ. So we don't have anything to boast of when we are able to accomplish something for Him. It ought to always go back to the Lord and not ourselves. If we would begin to understand that in its reality, I believe that it would do our humility and our usefulness a whole lot of good to remember that Christ has done it all. It would eliminate our criticalness and our gossipy tongues It would eliminate so many things in our lives if we'd understand that, listen, whatever we are by the grace of God. And if somebody has not gotten to the so-called higher point that we are, that we think we are, than somebody else, we ought never be looking down our self-righteous noses at them and being critical. By the way, it's God's job to lift them up. It's our job to edify, but it's God's to do that work in their life. It's not for you and I to constantly hack at the base of their timbers that they might fall over. It would help us to appreciate our victories rather than the handicaps of others. If you and I tonight would stop and look at, hey, our performance in righteousness is only by the grace of God, we then stop and look and say, my goodness, look what God did in my life. Isn't it wonderful what He did for me? And we wouldn't be looking at somebody else and look how poor he is. Thank God He did that for me. And by the grace of God, that can happen in other lives. And by the way, it didn't happen to us 3 days after we got saved either. It might have been 20 or 30 years. And by the way, do you know that we grow in different manners, all of us? Yeah. And so it's good for us to stop and consider, what is it? Our lives in Christ is by the grace of God too. It would help us when we view weaknesses in older Christians or seemingly more mature Christians. Because sometimes we look at them and we think, well, look at what's wrong with them. Well, they're still growing too. And God has taken them where they are, and it's His business. By the way, when we see a weakness in a person, it's for one purpose. God wants you and I to be able to pray for them. And to look for ways to allow God to be useful in using us to help them to be built. But far too often we use it as a tool to make ourselves, we think, look better by tearing them down in front of other folks. Something else we need to stop and consider, we think about the matter of reconciliation and substitution. That is, that you and I, and the song talked about it tonight, we have acceptance and nearness to Christ only by His grace. He included me. Amen. Bible says in Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. We're accepted in the Beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ. To be accepted. Wow. You ever been someplace and you were just kind of all by yourself and you didn't know what to do and you've never been there before and there's a bunch of strangers there and somebody comes up and just kind of takes you under their wing? And they include you in their fellowship and just make you feel at home. That's what God did for us. He includes us. He's accepted us in the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, in Ephesians 2:13, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We can be brought near to His side. Out of our poverty, into the riches of His inheritance, we have the blessed privilege to go. Out of the poverty of our lives, and I'm not speaking of finances, I'm talking just about the poorness of our soul and all of our abilities, out of that, you and I have the privilege to what? Enter the riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are co-inheritors with Him. In the book of Colossians, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Titus says, being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You and I have a prospect. You and I have that which is heirship. All that the Lord Jesus Christ has coming, we are there with Him. How's it happen? Because we're so good? Not by any means. Because of grace. Because of grace. Because we have achieved something? No, because of grace. We get to share the very throne of God. In Ephesians 2:6, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How we need to recognize without Him we are absolutely nothing. 1 Corinthians 1:3:30 says, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God hath made us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Ye who are in Christ Jesus, He has made us these things. In the book of Psalms, chapter 100, He says in verse 3, know ye not that the Lord, He is God? It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Whatever we are is by the grace of God. How we ought to be so thankful for that. He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Whatever we are in Christ is what He has made us. We're not self-made. We haven't raised ourselves up. And yet far too often in our pride we begin to think, man, I'm doing pretty good. And we begin to have this long nose, eyes looking down at other Christians. Ought not be. We're in the ministry of reconciliation. Drawing people unto Christ, drawing people unto each other. Not in a world of divisiveness, but in a world of reconciliation. It's where God wants you and me. Let's go to Him in prayer tonight. Father, thank You. We have the blessed privilege of this ministry. Lord, because You have done that for us. You have broken down the middle wall of partition that which sin built between us. With Your death on the cross of Calvary, the way has been made that we are included with You. Oh God, we thank You for that. We praise You. We know, oh God, it's only by Your grace. Help us, oh God, as we go from day to day to understand too that whatever we are in sanctification, whatever we are in the growth, is by Your grace. Oh God, let us not get that prideful, arrogant thing that causes us to boast. Many times our boasting is really through criticalness. As we try to show everybody how much we are better than they. God, forgive us. Make us like unto Yourself. Help us to realize Your grace. Bless in the fellowship that follows tonight. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.